April 15th, 2006. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, episode 31. Hey everybody, it's me, the J-Strom, here at the Pop Culture District of Mulberry. Alright, I need to stop pushing my voice like this. Right here to my left I have the Steven, the Pop Culture Zealot.
PCZ Steven.
Yeah. Now what does that stand for?
Pop Culture Zealot.
Nice to have you back with us another week, Steven. I thought you were going to quit last week after we argued over who was better on Bewitched. The original Darren or the replacement Darren, but we settled our differences with a arm wrestling match, and I must say that I won. But anyway, we have the Vanessa
and you
here.
You liked which Darren?
The original. I think he was the best one.
Dick Sargent, Dick York.
Yes, I have no clue. I'm going to say the original was Dick Sargent.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry, Vanessa. How are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
We're fantastic.
Dick
Sargent. We also have Mulberry Bill with us. How you doing, Bill?
Bill?
Bill? Bill?
Hello? Hopefully Bill will join us later in the show. Who knows? Sometimes Bill falls asleep in his chair. You never know what happens.
It's like an old man.
Billy!
I know. We get ready to do the show. Where's Bill? Where'd he go? I don't know. We'll find him. I don't know.
Damn you, Mulberry Bill.
Maybe he's locked out of his car again. Who knows? He may be calling us. So if that red phone rings, Steven, you tell me so I can answer.
Is there a new game that came out for the Xbox 360?
Yeah, that's got to be it. But do you guys remember last week it was all about the feedback? We put out a request for feedback for the show because, you know, let's face it, we want feedback. We want people to pump us up, make our heads grow. We want to be
attention whores.
Yeah, we want attention, we want compliments and all that stuff, and we got some. So all you people who sent emails, voicemail, you know, joined our Frapper map, all of that, even if you didn't, just for listening to our show, thank you very much. We love you. All right.
I'm shocked.
No, I always knew people were listening because I have our numbers, you know. I see that people are listening. I just wanted people to give us feedback so I know that it's not some kind of like Google bot listening to the show, you know?
Right.
So thanks, Foggy. That was a little late, but thank you. You know, I just want to give a little shout out to Zebertina from Norway. She gave us another email. And a listener, Jennifer Spalding, she sent us. I hope you don't mind us using your name. You know, we won't put you on any list. You won't have any telemarketers calling you or anything.
And the two that joined us in the...
Don Chep and Credo. Credo has been there the last couple
of
weeks.
That's great, Credo.
Yeah, Credo from Star Wars was there. And he had a frying pan like that guy in Phantom Menace. Why does he have a frying pan in that scene?
Where was Vanessa Friday night?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, I was taking care of our sick father, thank you.
Now,
Well, he's old enough to take care of himself, is what
I do. Oh, no. He's in bad shape. Get food poisoning.
Yeah, where was Vanessa? And
see, I flew in, got home, and still got online.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you're not taking care of your sick parent.
Yeah.
I flew in.
Now, wait. Yeah, kid. Okay, Vanessa, if you want to play that game, okay? You want to play that game? Where were you last Friday?
I don't know. Wait, what was last Friday?
Right. That would be Jason taking care of a sick child all day and still being on at night.
So let's just say that all of us have reasons for, I got nothing, Vanessa, you better beat the next one or you're fired.
Fired? Oh, you mean I won't get paid? Oh, wait, I already don't.
I know you don't want to hurt anybody else.
I know you don't want to hurt anyone, Vanessa.
Vanessa!
Yeah, I do.
What?
Roll bounce.
Roll bounce? What the hell? Now, Vanessa, what is that about Kirk Cameron?
The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breast.
Thank you. Do you remember saying that, Vanessa?
I don't remember yesterday half the time.
Yeah, okay. Drugs must be nice. Now, just because there's been a week of Nowhere in Mulberry, it doesn't mean to stop giving us feedback. Give us feedback every week and tell us how great each consecutive episode is.
Yeah.
We did get a voicemail. Let's check it out.
Okay, you want feedback? Here's feedback. Where was the discussion of Vita Spotify dressed in an outlandish leather outfit in a gay bar? Now, that would have made my week. Think about it next time. Also, what's with the hate for Fun with Dick and Jane? That was like the bright spot of the year, wasn't it? Anyway.
Yes, it was.
Enjoyed it. And keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that feedback, mystery caller.
We never said we hated it.
Do hate it. I haven't seen it, though.
We never said we hated it, though.
But I'm sure it's bad, though. I'm going to go ahead and judge it on that. Just you wait and see. Do not doubt me. Let's get into some entertainment.
Zombie killing.
The battle over Kirk Cameron's bare breast.
Thanks, Foggy. He's not going to let you live that down, Vanessa.
Yeah, why do we have an even thing of Jason?
I never make mistakes. Now, guys, before...
Sorry, I had to laugh.
Okay. We all love Kiefer Sutherland in 24, but he's now made a film with Michael Douglas and that chick from Desperate Housewives. It's called The Sentinel. Let's check out a trailer.
In the 141-year history of the United States Secret Service...
You, made time. Ooh, I look good.
There's never been a traitor until now.
Oh, no.
Agent who wants to help assassinate the president.
We need to find this guy.
We put Breckenridge in charge of the whole thing.
He's kind of a protege of yours. What do you think?
He'll follow the evidence wherever it leads him.
The Sentinel.
You big investigator.
Saggy bottom.
Excuse me? Why would I want to kill the president?
I am following the evidence.
I'm the guy that initiated this investigation. I am being free.
Don't piss off Jack Bauer, Michael Douglas.
Harrison has escaped from the rear of the residence.
They use a lamp on you.
I'm innocent. Starring that chick from Desperate Housewives.
No one knows her name.
Most of you, he's a friend. For some of you, he's a legend.
Hell, he taught me everything I know.
He is smarter,
Michael Douglas taught Jack Bauer everything he knows?
He knows? Holy crap, and I thought it was RoboCop.
I'm gonna see this movie.
And he will use that against you.
They think you're an assassin.
Inspired by The Fugitive.
It's inspired by The Sentinel, the TV show?
Inspired by that Clint Eastwood movie. With John Malkovich.
In a line of fire.
Directed by Wolfgang Peterson.
The traitor is still out there, Dave.
Really, this is directed by the guy who did SWAT, which is a great movie.
My radio just went dead.
It's going down.
We won't hold that against him, right?
I was like, what?
Wow, I'm sold. I guess it's 24 the movie? I don't know. It seems kind of cheap of them to steal music from 24 and sound effects. They're trying to get the people watch 24 to come see this. Doesn't it kind of look like 24?
He's the exact same character, just with a different name.
He's Jack Slower.
And if they show Michael Douglas's saggy butt, I will revolt, because I'm sick of seeing it. Thank you.
Hopefully it's not that kind of movie. I don't know. It was like, why is he mooning us? He's a traitor. Look at my ass.
All in the CIA shower, he's snapping like, each other with wet towels.
Kiss my ass, Secret Service, right here. It's like, oh, man, that's it. I'm walking out on this movie.
Puking in the theater.
But you know what? It looks like a keeper. Maybe the sound is good on DVD. I'll wait until it comes out on DVD to check it out.
The Sentinel.
The Sentinel. That's right, Steven. The Sentinel. You got to do a little gun cock thing.
Oh, you got to do that silencer. They had a silencer in the clip.
The Sentinel. All right, guys. I hope you check out The Sentinel. Looks fantastic. But, you know, coming up the next couple of weeks is Silent Hill. And I think it looks pretty good, man.
Is it scary?
They're using the real characters.
It's looking good. Now, it looks like... Did they kind of mix it up, though? Kind of mix the first game with the second game? Because the first game, it's a male protagonist, but this movie is a female protagonist looking for a daughter. Do you know anything about the storyline?
Yeah, it's supposed to be his daughter who's from the third one, because the first and the third game are tied together. The third one explains the first one.
Ah.
So I think they're kind of mixing the first and the third together.
So do you think it looks pretty good?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just surprised they didn't throw in some stupid extra characters like they did with Resident Evil.
Well, we haven't seen it yet. Maybe they do. Maybe all of a sudden the guy from The Mummy shows up. He's like, hey, what's up? And it's like, huh? What is he doing in here?
Hey, what's up?
But we'll see what happens. We're all going to go see that opening weekend, so we're going to review it on the show. Let's go ahead and get into a What's on Your TiVo. All right, guys, before we get into our favorite television shows, I keep seeing a commercial run this week on NBC, and it's for that awesome, awesome show called The Medium. Actually, it's just Medium, Steven, but I like to call it The Medium.
It's
not
like she's the only one.
Right, she's The Medium. Medium, starring that.
Predator Snort.
Now, Vanessa, it's not as good as Ghost Whisperer, would you agree? All right, I keep seeing this during the week, and I just thought we'd check it out.
NBC Monday, she's back. Medium returns with 5 all-new episodes in a row. She solves the crimes others can't. And Monday,
uh-oh,
she faces off with her greatest challenge. An evil medium.
Oh, no.
That's where we live.
Plus, coming soon, Molly Ringwald. And Kelsey Grammer is the Angel of Death.
Ooh! Monday. Hell yeah! Not only does she have to contend with an evil medium, but also Molly Ringwald. And also Frasier, who is the Angel of Death.
Awesome.
Now, you watch the show. Do you like the show?
I watch it because I like Jake Weber. But, yeah. It's
an evil medium.
That's right.
That's right, yes. An evil medium.
I would rather watch a show just called Evil Medium.
That would be a better show.
You know, I would watch any show with Molly Ringwald. I don't know about you guys, but, I mean, it's the casting coup of the year to have Frasier Crane as the devil, I guess.
Kelsey Grammer as the Angel of Death.
Oh, hell yes.
He produces Medium, so it's not surprising.
He's like, I went on this show, Niles. I got nothing. Okay, guys, now, last week we did a little story on the show about Paula Abdul hurting her back. I don't know why I can't say that. She injured her back. And she was on Gay Leno.
Tell us about your back, Paula.
Let's hear about what she says.
What was the story? Let me hear. Tell your version so this way we get the story straight, you see?
Well, it is, all kidding aside, it is something very serious, and I'm really not at liberty to talk about the details. But I can say I was shoved down to the ground, and I actually
that's a great
was
thing.
Knocked out Steven. Unconscious, which means I saw stars, which therefore means I didn't see stars. Wow.
You saw the Dallas Stars.
but that's all I can talk about.
Steven is my name.
Now, Steven, you're going to get busted for this. They're going to find you, mister. You knock Paula over. Doesn't
Pushed
Paula...
her down.
Ball slammer.
She sounds like she's all drugged up on Percocet or something. She sounds really bad.
I'm jealous.
She's hurting. That girl.
She sounds a lot like...
Plus coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
Yeah, Molly Ringwald. She sounds a lot like Molly Ringwald, I'm thinking. Now, guys, another week of Blowout. I've got a great clip of Blowout. Let's check it out.
Something kind of crazy happened. My heat or gas went out at my house.
Uh-oh.
And the water was freezing cold, and the only water I had in the house was my bottled water. So I took a shower with bottled water. I called her that day, and I said, Tina, Bethann, something amazing.
I need to whine to you on the phone again.
I'm in the car, and I'm like checking my hair out. I said, my hair is amazing. I said, I need to talk to the best water guys in the country, if not the world.
So we found it.
So this filter, we designed it to do all the things that you guys ask us for it to do. Take out chlorine, to take out the volatile organic chemicals. So you're going to notice instantly that your skin and hair is much, much softer. Like you said, like showering in bottled water, only better.
How rocking is that?
No, very rocking.
I got my name on a shower filter.
He's made it now.
I love it.
Vanessa, are you going to buy this shower filter?
No.
I gotta tell you,
the thing is huge.
So I know.
It's gonna pull the piping out of the wall. Well, it's so heavy.
Valid. On the shower filter too, but
well,
I wrote
up
it
with
on
designs
there.
Amazing, beautiful, natural. And
you know, Scott from Zorbit still has a deal with Jonathan Product. You know, he's gonna be the guy designing the packaging.
Jonathan Product.
So you're either gonna do the packaging and get it done, or you're out.
I understand.
Because I'll finish the artwork myself.
So now your beauty school education is going to allow you to finish your artwork? That's why your existing stuff looks like.
Ooh.
I'm cool with Scott. I don't have a problem with Scott as long as he hears my ideas of what I want and what I need.
My stupid idea.
Okay, he'll take your input. I know it.
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
Ooh, he's on the next Blowout, apparently. He's making the rounds on all these shows. But that's not everything. I've got a second clip.
How rocking is that?
Very rocking, Jonathan. Let's check it out.
I gotta get to Beverly Hills. I got hair to do. Major issues.
You've got major issues.
Right. Just gotta do my hair. Notice I carry this around in my pocket. Tina would freak if she knew I was showing you. Silky dirt, dude. Get to know it. Right here. Damn, dude. Look at that chunk, dude. Bang. Ladesh. Chunk funk.
Chunk funk.
I mean, Jesus, am I in a rush. I'm so late for my first client.
Bang Ladesh.
Bang.
It's all
Ladesh.
Good. Because I don't like doing hair when I'm calm. I like doing hair when I'm nuts. Little quick style.
Well, then he does it all the time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Always got to carry a little silky dirt with you. Bottom line is, you want to be dirty, or you want to be silky, or you want to be silky and dirty at the same time.
An evil medium.
Oh, scary. But, yeah, okay.
Bang Ladesh.
Awesome. I've never heard that before. Jonathan is ahead of his time. I don't know about you guys, but he's a genius.
Chunk funk.
All right, guys. I'd say I got nothing, man, after that. I'm just speechless.
Oh, damn, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Damn, dude.
Damn, dude.
Ooh, it's
it? The dude is very excited.
I got to tell you, I am so excited.
All right, guys, let's go on to The Apprentice. Now, this week, The Apprentice kind of screwed us a little. They had two episodes, so we got to cover two episodes now. Now, the first one had to do with the gang, the Scooby-Doo gang there on The Apprentice. They had to kind of build, well, what would you say, Vanessa? They had to redecorate a boys and girls club.
Yeah, like a one of the big rooms, like a rec room, and they had to do a certain theme for this charity.
Right, and Michael heads Team Synergy. He apparently is very indecisive. And then we have Lenny, the Russian mafia guy, running the others. And they're both horrible leaders. And I have a clip here that kind of encapsulates how bad they are at everything they do.
Roxanne.
I'm here.
Do we really have to do a different color in each pipe, or can we do the piping one color, the ceiling a different color, the walls a different color? What do you guys think about that? Hello?
Okay.
Yes.
I can't understand what the giggling that's going on right there. Can you please do a little
closer? This is like me
Michael
calling.
It's such a wanker! Hello! Wanker. All we gotta do is pick up some paint. It's not that hard. He's a wanker. Hey, Roxanne.
They were kind of really rude to this dude.
That was so weird.
I mean, yeah, he's indecisive, but that was rude.
Well, we might not have time to get it done by the time this is supposed to be done.
We have plenty of time.
But
we'll this is Lenny dealing with Charmaine.
Okay.
Lenny, I'm going to start doing the primer with the scaffolding.
Okay. How do you put this on? Ow. How does this go?
Ow. Doesn't that red look so good? I love it.
Red is a very difficult color to paint. We're going to have to put probably two coats of red on.
We have tons of paint.
Do we have tons of time? You have to put another coat on. You
Let me
have
handle
to.
This, all right? What's
I just
problem?
Feel like we're a little crunched for time.
If you stop talking, we'll be fine.
Lenny has no patience for you.
It's like nails in a chalkboard. She constantly has diarrhea of the mouth because she's talking just for the sake of talking, and the mindless blabber that comes out of her mouth drives me insane.
I suck at painting. I mean, suck bad. It's awful. Can we hire people?
Well, we don't have enough money. So
if we had the budget, we would.
Professional painters can do that three times quicker than you can.
Guys, stop talking. I'm going to run out of the time.
Major issues.
Man, now basically what happened is Team Synergy, they redecorated it for everyone. They had a girls section, they had a gaming section, they had a music section. They had different sections for different kids to do different things in this room. Now, Lenny's problem is he had one idea, and that was to do a music room. So he had like a bunch of keyboards. They had a neat floor. It was a, you know, black and white, you know, floor, and it looked kind of cool, but as a kid, I was never interested in music or had any musical touch. I'd rather play video games or, you know, something. So they gave that, they didn't give enough kids any options, right?
Right.
So naturally, Lenny lost. And he kind of wanted to blame it on Charmaine, but Charmaine did complain a lot, but it wasn't her fault they lost, which it kind of drives me nuts every week on this show. They always pick for personal reasons someone. They never really pick who should. Now, Michael may have been a bad leader, but he did bring them to a win. And I thought that they were very disrespectful to him, even though he was very indecisive. It probably would have gotten on my nerves, too. But still, at the same time, I don't like when a team wins and then they're like, well, we did it in spite of our leader. Uh-huh. And Synergy, you could tell they're all cocky bastards. And I can't wait till it's just down to the Synergy people and they all have to turn on each other. What do you think, Vanessa?
I agree. They do that a lot. They everyone seems to think they're the most valuable.
Right. Remember when Brent was their number one problem and now it's Michael's their number one problem?
Yeah. They always shift the blame. They can't seem to understand that it's a team effort and the whole team is involved. They always want to find one scapegoat.
Right. Now let's see what happens to Lenny. Denny's.
Let me just ask you this question. Who would you bring back?
It's so easy, you know, Charmaine.
Who else?
I'll take Lee as an advocate, you know. That's it, simple as that.
Well, that's not very nice. So, in other words, you're exposing your number one person, and you're exposing him. Now, you're exposing him because you think he's going to be positive toward you. Lee, don't you think that's sort of disloyal?
It's not disloyal, he asked me, and I agree to it. He's my friend. I have a hard time looking my friend in the face when he comes to me for help. And if I'm able
to help
him...
But what are you going
to
do? What are you going to add?
It was
I
piece of pie.
I honestly believe in Lenny. I think he could do it.
I know
it
you believe
Why
in Lenny.
Why does he believe in Lenny so much? Lenny's a jackass.
Lenny is not a good leader for this team.
We all make
Lenny
mistakes.
Tried to put the blame on certain people like Charmaine that he shouldn't have been doing. The room wasn't good. The leadership wasn't good. Lenny, you're fired.
Didn't even have to call him back.
But I love when Charmaine tries to hug him and say goodbye.
Go. Thank you.
And he gives her the brush off. This is great. She gets so freaked out.
Thank you for opportunity.
Thank you very much, Lee.
Thank you for American opportunity.
And Lee?
What a country!
I think it's very good.
Thank you. Sorry, I apologize for that outburst.
I didn't mean any of that.
Hey, I know. All right, go ahead. I don't want to talk.
That's it? You just don't want to be friends anymore because I had to say what I thought.
Were they ever friends?
Not really.
I've never, ever had 10,000 faces with you, Lenny.
I've never heard that term before.
You had 1,000 faces.
Your face looks like 10,000 maniacs.
Lenny, I stood by your side this whole time. You're not even, and just because I said that, I felt you were
These are the days.
Okay.
Take care.
I've never had 10,000 faces ever. All right, fine with this.
Just move on, Charmaine. Who cares?
Silky dirt, dude.
There's that damn space door again. Apparently, Trump had a space door put into his office. So anyway, Lenny is fired, and we go on to another episode. Now, this episode is even better because it deals with 7-Eleven and paizzas. That's right, paizzas.
Paizzas or paizzas? How do you say it?
Paizzas.
Paizzas.
A P apostrophe eat. ZZA. Paizza.
You were saying paizza.
Yeah, I don't think anyone knew how to say it, but basically what it is it's two pieces of pizza with a sandwich in between squished, and you eat it cold. So it's like turkey, lettuce, tomato, onions, maybe, cheese.
What kind of pizza?
And two pepperoni pizzas squished together. And
that's a sandwich.
So their idea was Team Synergy and Gold Rush needed to sell the most and have the highest percentage of sales.
Right.
Now, here's basically what happened. Let's check it out.
It has to be. I'm leaning toward $7.99.
$7.99 for this pizza sandwich.
This is huge.
Pizza.
I asked the night manager what he thinks. What would he price that? He said $6.99 is a good price. This pizza is $6.99. Buy it today, we'll give you a cooler for free. What's wrong with that?
I think it should be $7.99.
$7.99. It's kind of high.
They can't make decisions.
This is the final decision. We're going to go with
they make bad
one
decisions.
Piece, $7.99. Two for $8.99, okay?
Leslie, it seems to me that you really brought Lee in for personal reasons when price point was the problem. Don't you agree?
I do think price point was a problem, but I'd like to say something really quickly.
I was the one person on the team that thought it was
Yes,
nice.
We know, Lee. You're always the one person on the team.
Leslie, it's true. He was the one person on the team that said he wanted the price lowered. You know, he's not project manager.
If I
lowered the price, if you're going to say
that. If I was, I would have lowered
You didn't want to lower the price. And
I'm sorry.
Leslie.
Go ahead.
The fact is that Lee wanted it lowered, right? And
but
you didn't
Lee
want
always
to lower.
Want something opposite of what everybody
it's
else
wants.
It's
not a question
reason.
Of that. In this case, he was right. He wanted the price lowered.
Trump,
Leslie, you didn't want the price point lowered, and that's why you lost. Leslie, you're fired.
Dope. Sorry.
Thank you. Okay, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you. Thank
Bye-bye.
You very much, Leslie. Good luck.
Thank you.
I didn't think Lee deserved to be in there.
No, I hope he wins.
Does Charmaine get on your nerves?
Yeah.
Thanks, Donald.
So Leslie lost, and Team Synergy won again. Andrea got to be the task lead again. Why can't I remember what
project
the hell?
Manager.
Andrea Gosh. Got to be the project manager again, and you can see it's painfully obvious that she only makes her own decisions. I love when
she's micromanager to the tee, my God.
I love when they're trying to figure out what free gift you're going to get, and she's like, it's going to be ball caps. Guys like ball caps. And they're like, what about mugs? Mugs are neat. No, the decision is final. It's ball caps.
No. That's not what she goes like this. She goes, I was thinking ball caps. What do you guys think? And they're all throwing out next. Well, I'm just letting you know, it's going to be ball caps. Like, what did you ask?
Yeah. You know, I do like her, though. I think she does have what it takes, but she's got to learn to work with others, and she's got to make sure that those people are loyal to her. Now, right now, all she's doing is burning bridges, where they're like, she's just a bitch, and she doesn't listen to any ideas we say, so she's not earning any loyalty. When it comes the time when they're in the boardroom together, they're going to turn on her because they think she's a controlling, manipulative you-know-what, as Brent would say.
Yes.
So that's The Apprentice this week. Let's talk about Smallville, Steven.
Yes.
Steven and I just watched a great episode of Smallville, Vanessa. It turns out that the Kents, that would be Clark and his mom, take in a nice little orphan girl whose foster mom has just been killed by glass.
In a car wreck.
No, she died in her house, not in a car wreck.
No, it showed a car wreck.
What are you talking about?
Oh, the foster mom, sorry. Yeah. The real mom died in a car wreck.
Shot my wheels off there, Steven. So anyway, they're in a house. I don't know how a car got in there. But,
no, in the her real mom.
But the mom dies. And so anyway, this girl has powers, Steven. Would you agree with me on that?
Convenient. Gosh.
Yes.
When she gets upset, glass vibrates and shatters.
Yes.
And Clark is real nice to her, and he's like, oh, I was an orphan too, you know. And
I got weird powers.
But get this, Vanessa. It turns out that her dad has returned, and he wants his daughter. And it's played by Leoben from Battlestar Galactica. He's a Cylon. And he has the same glass powers as she does, right?
He gained them how?
What would you call that glass power?
He gained them because a meteorite hit the glass-blowing shop he worked in.
Yeah, stained glass factory.
Oh, my God!
So if a meteorite hit where I worked, like in a frame shop, I could frame, like, with the wheel, you know.
Frame it will.
Triple matted picture. Zing! But anyway.
Who writes this crap?
He abducts the girl, and Clark must save her, right?
Yes.
From her own father.
Yes, he must save her from Leoben,
shattering dad,
who's apparently hidden some diamonds in a glass pane that's in the coffee shop that his mom just happens to own, which was kind of convenient.
Right.
The whole show is.
And he saves her, except the guy escapes from police custody because it happens to be a cop with glasses on, and he makes the glasses shatter, and it like punctures
his
eyeballs.
His brain.
So he showed up, and he's going to get his daughter back, but his daughter fights back, and there's this great scene where he's like, no, and glass is going to hit him, and then he does the thing where he's like, you don't want to be like your dad. Don't kill him. You're a better person than this. She's like, oh, you're right, Clark. So that's all happy and everything.
That's
now,
beautiful.
Meanwhile, forget about that ridiculous story, but it seems that Lana and Lex have been hanging out quite a bit. Let's check it out.
As long as we had to wade through a sea of government paperwork, at least we got to do it over spicy tuna rolls.
Yeah, well, I'm not too fond of working in the stacks.
You know, I have to admit, I was pretty impressed when you ordered the entire meal in fluent Japanese. You could have warned me about
this.
Very
impressive, Lex.
Oh, we should cut a day show.
Let me rub your head.
You love it.
Lex, I was thinking, I don't really feel comfortable hanging on to these. Some of these papers are marked classified, and you could get into a lot of trouble even showing them to me.
Lana, if Milton Fine is right about an extraterrestrial threat, the last thing the government's going to be worried about is Lana Lang. Besides, you're the only one who knows of my transgression. I think I'm safe with
that. Who talks like that, Lex? Seriously? Let me rub your head again.
Trust me.
Got a little 100%. Smudge on top up here.
I can see myself.
Well, I hope you feel the same way about me.
Lana, I have to tell you a secret. I'm a DJ.
DJ Lex.
DJ Lex with two X's.
That's right.
And a backwards L. So, yeah. So at the very end of the show...
Sounds exciting.
Chloe is very... worried about Lana. She doesn't want her to turn to Lex and fall for him. She thinks that Lex is taking advantage of her because Lana is very emotional, heartbroken. You know, she tried to flatline last week. So at the very end, Lana wants to have it out with Lex and tell him just where the relationship is. They're just friends. And then they kiss. And so, hey, didn't see it going there, did we, Steven?
Lex kisses her. She starts to walk out and then turns right around.
And smacks one right in the kisser. So, I love this show.
Why, I'm convinced I should watch.
You should.
No.
So that's the genius of Smallville. So we'll see what happens next week, because next week looks like a spoof of...
Crap?
Next week looks like a spoof of Saw, where they're in elaborate traps and there's a masked villain trying to get Lionel Luthor. So it looks awesome. I can't wait. I think it looks... Bangladesh is what it does.
Bangladesh.
Exactly, Jonathan. Well, you know what else is Bangladesh, Vanessa and Steven? And that's 24. Ah, yes, 24, Jack Bauer. Jack Bauer Power Hour. You got RoboCop. You got all sorts of crazy crap. You got the president. He's a bad guy, Steven. Now,
No.
This is how the episode begins. Let's check it out.
Are you still on the secure line?
Yes, why? What's going on?
Evelyn didn't implicate Gardner. She implicated President Logan.
Oh, my God, Jack. Micah, are you sure?
Said he was responsible for everything that happened today, starting with providing the terrorists with the nerve gas,
including global warming.
That's what Palmer found out. That's why they killed him.
Bastard.
That President Logan ordered Palmer's assassination.
Henderson gave the order, but Evelyn says she has evidence that shows that
he caused the flooding in New Orleans.
She's the reason gas prices keep going up.
This morning, bastard. Henderson and President Logan. She put it in a safety deposit box in a bank. We're on our way to get it now.
Why would she do that?
He is the reason the sun sets and rises.
My PDA so we can navigate our way around them.
All right, I'll take care of that.
Audrey, as soon as I have the recording, we're going to have to involve your father. We need someone in the government, someone credible, to present the evidence.
He is incredible.
He's on his way back from a summit in Japan. I'll call him on the plane.
The sex is fantastic.
He's a great...
You think that they can be trusted?
Never mind.
Right now, we can't trust anyone.
That's right, you can't trust anyone. What's great here is he's with that assistant of the First Lady and her daughter, and she's been shot in the leg. He's like, you'll be okay, right? She's like, sure. So him and Wayne leave, and she promptly passes out, which he should have stopped her bleeding first, don't you think?
Poor little salt in it.
Just bandage it up or something, but he made her very vulnerable where she's there with bleeding with her daughter with no one to help them. Jack and Wayne decide they need to kidnap the manager of the bank, which has the safety deposit box with the evidence of the recording that implicates the president. Right, Steven?
Right.
Which is genius. They kidnap the guy and they get him there to the bank. Meanwhile, the mom passes out, so the daughter decides to call 911. And RoboCop catches in on that, so he shows up. And they never show what happens, but I'm pretty sure he killed her and the little girl, and that kind of sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you think he killed him?
Damn Robo.
Damn you, RoboCop. Damn you, Reva, RoboCop. RoboCop's men show up. Peter Weller, I'm speaking of, by the way. Chris Henderson's men show up, and they've got machine guns and all this. And Jack's like, I know what to do. I'm going to trip the alarm. The police will show up, and they'll get in a gunfight will ensue, and then we'll escape. Pretty good plan, huh?
Yes.
Meanwhile, they've made good friends with the bank president guy. They've even played him the clip, so now he knows the president's bad, so he wants to help out. They escape, the cops show up, and apparently, if you think about it like this, didn't Jack just endanger, like, police officers? But
pretty
I guess,
much.
I mean, this information is very important. The president's a bad guy, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And what's cool is the army guys show up, and they're like, and they're mowing down all the bad guys, but here's what happens.
How's he doing?
He's dead.
Does that mean he's okay?
He's going to be okay then, right?
But his phone is ringing.
Did your father agree to meet?
Yes, he's landing at Van Nuys Airport in about 15 minutes.
I'm here now.
Good, we got the evidence.
Get William Devane on the phone.
Yeah, there's no doubt it's Logan. You understand what this means? We're talking about taking down the President of the United States.
Ooh! So they're going to take down the President. And William Devane is on the next episode, so I can't wait to see what happens.
It's going to be glass-shattering.
Now, let's, a little girl has powers, and she can apparently make glass shatter. It's pretty awesome.
Yes.
Isn't that a worthless power, by the way?
She can control glass, so not only break it, but put it back together.
Vanessa, she could make you a fancy necklace if she wanted to.
Could she make me, like, stained glass window or
something? Yeah, she could make you bottles. She could make you a chandelier.
Just by thinking about it.
She could maybe make Jack Bauer a neat, like, bracelet or something. Now, I'm going to say that 24 has been great this season, and I love it. I can't wait to see how they take down the president. And I even have a prediction. And I hope this doesn't happen because it seems predictable, but I'm thinking his wife is going to kill him. The first lady will probably be disgusted and, like, cap him. What do you think? Could you see that happening, Vanessa?
The old inside job.
Sure. Why not?
No spoilers anyway, but, you know, I'm going to say
that's your
something like that
your
will
guess?
Happen. Yeah.
Get to know it.
Exactly, Jonathan. I think it's time we talk about some Lost. What better way to talk about Lost than to play a clip first, encapsulating the entire episode?
My God, Rose, they've given up.
On what? On getting rescued.
So, Henry, I'm going out to the line that we're not supposed to cross and telling them that we've got you. And when we get Walt back, you might just have been worth all the trouble.
They'll never give you Walt.
I'm going back out into the jungle to talk to our friend with the beard. See if we can make a trade.
And you're inviting me along because you want a gun, huh?
I'm not inviting you. I'm inviting Kate. And I've already got a gun, but thanks for offering.
Hey, you got Locke. He's scribbling, drawing pictures.
Henry, did you enter the numbers? Did you push the button or
not? Oh, this part was great. Henry's evil smile.
The letters have to be really big. These black rocks will get maximum contrast with the sand. There's a lava field about a half a mile inland that's just loaded with them. We're going to haul them out in two-man teams.
A lava
and
field?
I am going to start sketching out the letters in the sand. Let's do this.
Hey, I can sketch the letters.
I predicted
Everybody's
volcano
got a job,
erupting
really.
In the future.
I do my job, you do yours.
I am just trying to do something.
That's exactly right. You're always trying to do. Why can't you just let things be?
If I didn't always have to do something, you wouldn't be here.
Ooh.
Yeah, a bird.
Somebody eating Cheerios.
Wait, wait, don't.
Whoa!
Ow, ow, ow.
What was the deal with this trap, anyway? Who said it? Was it Russo's?
I'm trying to get the gun.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right. We're going to try to shoot the rope.
A lot of grunting going on there.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Whoa, nice gun sound. Foggy, make a clip of that. Whoa, nice. That was kind of cheesy, the way they escaped, wasn't it?
Done with the hatch.
Oh, now you're just frustrated. You'll be out of that splint and running around the island again in no time.
Jack said it'd be at least 4 weeks.
But, honey, you and I both know it's not going to take that long.
Ooh, man. You got an umbrella? Once again, something happens in the last 10 minutes.
You want him back? You're going to have to come out here. I'll be right here until you talk to me. I'll be right here.
I lied to you. Back in Australia, Isaac, he didn't heal me.
Of course he did.
He didn't heal me. But that doesn't mean I'm not healed. It's this place. Trust me.
You don't want to be rescued, do you? He won't ever leave, Rose.
Two characters, background characters.
I'm sorry.
Why?
I just...
I'm not.
Ooh, me neither. I enjoyed watching. Oh, what? Didn't Michael look like he had some kind of crap all over his face?
Michael.
silky dirt, dude.
Oh, he had silky dirt all over his face. That's what it was. Now, basically, this episode, as you could tell, was about Bernard and Rose. Two characters aren't really main characters. I think there was enough characters for them not to do a story about this couple. But, hey, I'm not the writer of the show. They can do whatever they want, right? The thing I thought was interesting is that Bernard learns that Rose has cancer, terminal cancer, and he finds, like, this faith healer in Australia. That's what they were doing there. When they go to visit the guy, the guy kind of does a similar thing that, remember the psychic did to Claire, where he kind of tries to read her, and then he's kind of like kind of disturbed by what he sees or feels, and he goes, I can't heal you. But he does explain that the magnetic fields of the Earth, there are certain sections that are very strong areas on the Earth that could heal people, but this isn't the spot for her. Now, that basically what it determines is she, like Locke, was healed by the island due to its magnetic power or something. Am I right, Stephen?
Correct, yes.
Now, here's the thing that bothered me. She explains to her husband, Bernard, that he couldn't heal me. And he's like, well, maybe he did. She goes, no, he didn't. But couldn't she have said he couldn't heal me, and I lied and I said that he did heal me, so you would stop. But she never says that, so he's like, well, maybe he did heal you. Did that bother you, Vanessa?
I didn't even notice, to be honest with you.
Well, I did, and I'm not watching this show anymore. Just kidding. So we'll see next week on... No. It's not on next week. It's...
Nope, of course not. Another break. Big
oh,
shocker.
Man.
Damn, dude.
That sucks.
Look at that chunk, dude.
Yeah, look at that chunk, Steven.
Chunk of missing time.
Yeah, a chunk of missing time. Exactly, Steven. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But Michael's back. And what's cool on the previews, he says something about there's not that many. We could take them. So, ooh, I'm rubbing my hands again to see what happens. Woohoo! But I thought this episode was okay. I didn't think it was great. Quite honestly, I don't care about Bernard and Rose, so... I kind of was like kind of annoyed it was even covering them. It was kind of like the episode where it covered the opposite side of the island, the tailenders. I really didn't care about them. You know, we'll see what happens. Am I right?
Yeah, I mean, they're probably setting up something for the island with Bernard. Yeah. And
what do you think, Jay Leno?
All
right.
God help me.
Exactly, Vanessa. God help us.
Chunk fuck.
Let's do some news. All right, Vanessa, what do you got in the news this week?
The battle over Kurt Cameron's bare breast.
I think we did that story a couple weeks ago, but okay.
All right. According to E! News Online, looks like Britney's not the only celebrity mom dealing with child services. The View's Elizabeth Hasselbeck says she has been the target of an unidentified female stalker who is phoning in.
Well, look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Who has been phoning in false accusations to the New York authorities claiming she's a poor parent. In recent weeks, Elizabeth and her husband, Tim, have been stalked and harassed by an individual or individuals who seem to want to do them harm. Now someone has contacted the newspapers. According to a report in Wednesday's New York Daily News, an unknown woman with a southern twang and claiming to be a friend of the family has phoned various agencies to make false and creepy allegations involving the Hasselbecks and their one-year-old daughter, Vic. This is a malicious attempt to harass our family, Walters said. She was reading it on the behalf of the Hasselbecks. These allegations have been fully reviewed by child protective authorities and medical professionals and found to be absolutely false. This matter has been turned over to the district attorney's office for prosecution of the individuals responsible for this false accusation. So somebody obviously has it out for her because, I mean, and there's a certain point you don't, line you don't cross, especially any stalker. You don't screw with somebody's kid. I'm sorry. But
now, this is a girl from The View, right? The youngest one?
Yeah. Yeah.
Your mom.
That is really creepy. What? Do they delve into what kind of creepy accusations they're making?
The way it's kind of sounding is if this person's saying there's molestation, possibly sexual misconduct.
Huh, that's messed
up. There was something missing in Wednesday's Night South Park, as a title card explained. Comedy Central has refused to broadcast an image of Muhammad on their network, and it was not a joke. The scene depicting the Islamic prophet handing a football helmet to a character from Family Guy really was nixed by Comedy Central.
Bang! Ladesh.
A source close to the show said safety concerns were behind the move. Earlier this year, Danish newspapers published cartoons depicting the Prophet Muhammad, sparking deadly riots throughout many Muslim nations. Any rendering of the Prophet, even a positive one, is considered blasphemous by Muslims. So, I think that was probably a smart move on their part. So,
maybe.
On South Park...
Are those same people watching...
South Park?
Yeah.
You never know. Yeah, never know.
Damn,
I mean, obviously...
Look at that chunk, dude.
Thank you, Foggy. Jesus.
If they're looking at a Danish newspaper cartoon,
uh-huh,
then maybe they are. Because, I mean, who looks at a Danish newspaper?
Stop it, Foggy!
Okay. No kidding. All right, Wednesday South Park, Cartoon Wars Part 2, was the concluding half of a story arc in which Family Guy, the Fox animated series, causes international consternation when, in familiar-sounding turn of events, it depicts Muhammad. The storyline is better understood if one accepts that a South Park scriptorium explained Family Guy equals South Park. It's supposed to be like one show against the other.
Right.
In the South Park version of things, Family Guy makes it to the air with a controversial scene prompting an animated response from Al-Qaeda involving Jesus, President Bush, the U.S. flag, and, of course, bowel movements.
Nice.
Jesus Christ.
In an interview with the Associated Press, William Donahue of the Conservative Catholic League for Religious and Civil Rights attacked Parker and Stone, but not Comedy Central, for the
Get
Jesus
to know it.
Air. Of the show's creators, Donahue said, "They're like little whores. They'll sit there and they'll whine and they'll take their shots at Jesus."
Those bastards.
I mean, come on. People have, you know...
All right! Stop playing that drop, Foggy. I mean it.
But you know that old saying, you know, God is a comedian playing to an audience with no sense of humor?
You said that before, like two shows ago. I mean,
well, it's true. Because people, it's like God gave us a sense of humor, but people are so terrified to joke about religion.
I know.
Jesus Christ.
Okay, I'm going to pull up. I'm starting to rip out my hair. But you're like 6 feet away. I can stand up and slap you. I can bitch slap you if I want, Foggy. Just want you to know that. All right, Vanessa, move on. Before, I'm going to start crying.
All right. In other news, Jennifer Lopez filed a lawsuit Monday to stop ex-husband Ojani Noah from publishing an alleged tell-all book about her, claiming that her disabled ex...
I'm not supposed to be crying! Jesus!
Okay, Steven, hold on a second. All right, but go ahead, Vanessa. I'm sorry.
All right. Claiming that her disgruntled ex wanted $5 million before he would agree not to go public with his tales.
Nice. So basically, he wrote an entire book as blackmail?
Yeah.
Yes.
Nice.
Either way, think about it. He's going to make money either way. If he publishes it, he makes money. And if he doesn't, makes money.
Does that suck?
But who... If there are people that buy this book, they're really sad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, according to documents filed in Los Angeles Superior Court, the manuscript contains negative, denigrating, and disparaging details about Lopez and includes private and intimate statements. One of the purported disparaging topics in Noah's claim to the New York Post that Lopez had an affair with current hubby Mark Anthony while the latter was still married to Dayanara Torres.
That's a great thing.
Noah also allegedly told the Post that when Lopez invited him to Brazil, where she was filming Anaconda for his 23rd birthday...
Awesome movie!
Yeah. He supposedly learned upon arrival that she had been having a fling with one of her co-stars.
Oh, Ice Cube? Eric Stoltz? Oh, no, John Voight.
Maybe the snake.
When you kill this snake...
Well, she's seeking a permanent injunction preventing the book
Watch out for
from
snakes.
Publicizing... the details and about her and her relationships or from profiting from it in any way. So who knows? Like I said, it's actually pretty genius on his part because either way, he's going to make money. Because if she gives him the $5 million to stop the book, he'll make the $5 million. If he publishes the book, people are going to want to read it now because of all the press of her wanting to stop it.
What's your
so
point,
she shot herself in the foot right there. She should have said nothing.
Right.
Because now everybody's going to go, oh, I wonder what's in there. It has to be bad then if she doesn't want it to be seen. So if anybody ever writes a book about you, don't go public about it. Don't go in there.
Yeah, when you're asked for a comment about it, you just say, that's a bunch of lies, man. That's why I didn't care.
I'm very hurt.
She probably has a team of lawyers advising her. I would think. Probably something like that.
It's probably damage control. Because they know the book's going to cause people to say things like, oh my god.
But, I mean, who cares, really? Why does she care? I mean, who cares?
I gotta tell you, I am so excited.
I'm not really concerned with how a celebrity lives their life.
Yeah, but I guess there are a lot of people that do, and they buy it. Ooh, a juicy tell-all book. I'm going to purchase
this. Do you really care? I mean, or they just want to know
something? No, they shouldn't care about people who purchase things like that. But, you know, maybe I'm just being naive, you know? That's all I'm saying. Maybe I don't know.
I'm writing a tell-all book about you.
You bastard. I will have a team of lawyers shut you down, you son of a...
Struggling.
They did some study showing people who actually are into the celebrity lives, and the greater the education, the more detached a person is from the Hollywood, I guess, tabloid sort of thing.
Right.
So in other words, what they're trying to say without saying it is lower the
income. You know those shows like Access Hollywood and all the Entertainment Tonight? They make me physically ill. Bradgelina was out, you know, getting a roast beef sandwich at Arby's today. It's like, I don't care.
I don't care what they eat.
It sucks the life force out of my skull. Exactly.
Sorry.
What else you got, Vanessa?
All right.
What the hell? Arby's chicken. Oh, the chicken naturals.
I was like the crispy chicken thing.
When I'm thinking Arby's, I'm thinking chicken naturals.
The naturals.
Damn straight.
I got to try one of those piazza pizza sandwiches.
Yeah, pizzas.
Well, see you later. Piazza.
Exactly.
Piazzas. All right. Now, despite Katie Holmes' Catholic upbringing, there will be no baptism for the first fruit of her labor.
Oh, no.
You can be Catholic and be a Scientologist. Jewish and be a Scientologist. Tom Cruise, movie star and male half of the relationship, otherwise known as Tomcat, good God.
I'd like you to consider Scientology.
Told Diane Sawyer in an interview scheduled to air Friday on ABC's Primetime, but we're just Scientologists. While it was announced last summer that Holmes had been taking some Scientology classes...
I thought you were going to say Scientology pills, and I was going to go, what are those?
Yes.
She's taking Scientology pills.
It's called eroding holes in your brain. This particular revelation was the couple's, of which Cruise is the given spokesperson, first public acknowledgement that Holmes has fully jumped on her man's belief bandwagon. Yeah, that's all she jumped on.
Has he married her yet?
No.
Yeah, I'm sure that's very Christian, Scientologic, whatever the hell you want to call it.
Well, I mean, Scientologists get married, and he's been married before. I'm just wondering why they haven't gotten married yet when she's pregnant. Do you think that he's going to wait till she has the baby and wait a while and then just separate from her? He doesn't have to worry about getting a divorce?
I'll tell you the reason.
What's the reason?
It's not his baby. If he marries her, he then has to pay for it.
Ah, whose is it?
I don't know. They did that.
Chris,
what's
his name?
It's Dawson Leary. Elron Roberts. No! They froze some of his sperm.
Good Lord! That's an interesting theory, Stephen.
You're despicable.
But, yeah, they talk about how they spark their Scientology practice has sparked rumors and discord between Katie Holmes and her family.
Right. I'm sure her entire family is very troubled by all of this. I would be.
But I'm sorry, okay? She epitomizes what is wrong with a lot of women nowadays. They find a guy, and they give up everything that makes them who they are in order to be with this guy.
Vanessa!
It's like she turned stupid when she met him, you know?
Retarded!
It's like she threw out all common sense out the window.
Well, because when women are in love, we lose brain cells. I don't know what we do, but we get put up with the dumbest crap that any other day we would be like, "Girl, what are you doing?" But when we're with a guy that we think we're in love with him, all of a sudden our brain shuts down.
It's like your ability shuts down.
Not being used to my ability.
I knew it.
But what they're talking about, you know, with Katie Holmes' family, you know, some days you hear that they're unhappy with it, other days you hear they're fine with it. Well, Tom Cruise said, no, they're good with it. Oh, of course, they approve. Yeah, whatever.
Bangladesh.
Oh, and Tom Cruise is trying to clarify something. You know how the whole silent birth thing. He's right. Trying to say that the mother is allowed to make noise. It's other people around who are supposed to be quiet.
Silence, if you please.
He's like, why have other people make noise? You know, you want the area very common to make it special.
He makes a lot of sense, though.
Well, I'm sorry, but it's kind of like this.
Rubbish.
To me, it sounds like he's trying to dig himself out of a hole because maybe it made him sound like.
Exactly.
You know,
I mean, they showed all those.
He's
people.
Making up for a year's worth of insanity. Like, I acted crazy just because I was joking around. You guys, you weren't in on the joke.
Did they hire?
It's just
a
little bedraggled.
Did he hire a new publicist?
Yeah.
Got rid of his sister.
I was bedraggled.
I hope so.
Do a little damage control there.
Can you guys tell I'm just having like a unspoken word battle with Foggy right now?
About to have an unspoken something with him.
Whoa, a little bit of a love connection going on here.
This.
Opposite. But when Tom Cruise was talking about, you know, how Scientologists don't
purple
believe
satin painkillers,
you know, he's saying, they're like, well, is there going to be painkillers there for her during childbirth? I mean, Jason, your wife has had a baby. I'm sorry, it is painful. I've had two children. And he's saying, whatever the woman wants. You know, of course, Cruise, who has two adopted children with Nicole Kidman, he's like, if she needs her epidural, she's going to get her epidural.
Yeah.
And
can you just see, like, a religion created by a crackpot man says, you know what, they don't need any painkillers during birth.
Yeah. Everybody keep quiet when the baby's being born.
Yeah.
You know, people always say, well, women did it for hundreds of years. They did it without pain medication. You know what? That's why we have advances. So
you know,
we don't
guess
have
what?
To
that's,
do it.
That's why the mortality rate was a lot higher with babies. Yeah. And
yes.
If I remember, the reason women feel pain is because Eve took a bite out of the apple. Am I right?
Oh, gosh. Yep, you're right. I'm sure Tom Cruise knows all about it. But, oh, here's a funny thing. He was talking about that he actually arranged for an at-home sonogram machine.
Awesome. So, only a rich person could do something like that.
Because these are rumors, and then he's putting them some to rest. And he goes, yes, that is true, but no, the one about him buying an adult-sized pacifier for Katie to bite down on delivery is not true.
I want an adult-sized pacifier. That sounds awesome.
I know. Give you something to suck on.
Major issues.
All right, Vanessa, what else do you have this weekend? Nowhere in Mulberry.
An evil medium.
Britney Spears.
Well. Look who it is. Hi, bitch.
Has come under renewed scrutiny from Los Angeles child welfare officials. At least one social worker, accompanied by deputies, visited Britney's Malibu home Saturday afternoon, L.A. County Sheriff's Lieutenant said Wednesday. The visit occurred after the pop star's 7-month-old son was diagnosed with a skull fracture. Holy crap!
Oh, my God. That's in very poor taste, Foggy.
A call seeking comment from Spears' publicist, of course, was not returned. The sheriff's department could confirm only that its deputies went to Spears' home to keep the peace, and that for their part, the deputies didn't take any action. Of course, they didn't write any reports or anything. Spears' attorney, Martin Singer, said in a statement that the Department of Children and Family Services determined there was no problem and no reason to open a formal investigation. You know, after they spent a couple of grand under the table.
Yeah. You saw nothing. You didn't see a gigantic crack in this baby's skull.
Yes. Social workers determined Spears and her husband, aspiring rapper, that's my favorite part. Who's getting sued right now, actually.
Huh? Okay.
Yeah.
Was that his rap routine, Popo Sal?
That's him singing. No, that's glass shattering right there, him singing. Social workers determined that Spears and her aspiring rapper husband Kevin Federline were not responsible for their child's injury. It was the mallet that they used to hit it in the head. No, I'm just kidding.
And oh, my God! They admitted to that! Jesus!
And they said that nothing improper occurred within the home. Spears' baby, Sean Preston, was injured March 31st in a high chair mishap while in the care of a nanny in California. That's why you're supposed to take care of your own children!
Does that... I don't know about this.
Hey, guess what? Spears and Federline were in Dallas at the time.
Hey!
Your mom.
Last Friday, the CAT scan revealed Sean Preston had sustained a minor skull fracture and a blood clot. That is serious business.
Oh, you said CAT. Very funny.
Yeah. And of course, you know, you remember that in February that the CPS, Child Protective Services, was dispatched after she put her son in her lap and unbuckled and unrestrained.
Right.
And then she tried to say it was an instinctive thing and that because she made a mistake, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Whatever.
I think she gets voted for Mother of the Year.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, yeah. Mother of the Year, that should be her. Someone who doesn't buckle their child.
Your mom.
You know, white trash is white trash. It doesn't matter how much money you have, you're white trash. You know what I'm saying? I don't care how, you know, how famous you are, how much money you have. If you're white trash.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And you money doesn't make a good parent.
Right.
Well, you know.
I thought that Kevin Federline was going to bring some class to this family, but apparently I was wrong.
Come on, a guy with a wife beater shirt on walking around, class.
Yeah, a guy who writes a beautiful song like Popo's Al.
Oh, what I was going to say is, okay, don't the average person out there, we work hard, and all of our dream is that one day one of us could be home with the kids, so we don't have to put them in daycare.
Right.
And then you have celebrities who have all this money. Could easily, you know, retire. She could retire off what she had.
Right. She doesn't ever have to work another day in her life, I would think.
No. Why doesn't, you know, at least stay home with the kid until it starts school? I mean, it's 5 years.
Because she would actually have to take care of it.
They had to come to Dallas for something, I guess.
Yeah, some big, you know, maybe a record release for his big pop hit.
Kevin Federline had a new rap album he had to release.
That's the aspiring rapper.
Oh, man, that would be genius if, like, he released a beatbox album where he's just... It's like, oh, that's genius, Kevin. Oh, Kevin, oops, drop the baby.
Oh, the funniest thing, though, I have to say, it reminded me. My ex-husband, he's a big geek. I mean, a dorky guy. And, yes, I actually married that guy. He used to work at Taco Bell when he's a teenager. And he used to go into the freezer area. He'd go in the freezer area and practice beatboxing. And one day, he got... caught by the manager and was given a warning for what was the exact terminology? Noise disturbance in the restaurant.
Was he doing that?
Pretty much.
That's awesome.
He said the whole restaurant, he didn't know, but the whole restaurant could hear him trying to beatbox in the refrigerator in the back of Taco Bell.
I'm sure he enjoys you telling the story.
We'll never know. Oh, yeah, but you know, we all have our embarrassing moments. I mean, why?
Not like that, in the back of an Arby's beatboxing.
But can you picture that, though? I mean,
compose yourself, Vanessa.
You notice how I can laugh and talk at the same time? Aren't I good? I'm talented.
Yes, you are.
Roll down.
All right, Vanessa, what else do you have in the news this week?
That's all I've got.
All right, Vanessa, thanks a lot. I enjoy you doing the news.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
It's incredible.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
All right, Vanessa, since Bill is missing in action, why don't you cover the DVD section this week?
Okay, okay. I'm doing the DVD.
Ah, yes. DVDs. Spherical discs. Does that even make sense? Yes. And cut it off. All right, Vanessa, before we get into DVDs like we usually do, why don't you upstage Bill and tell us what's going on at the box office this week?
All right, I surely will.
All right, hey, that's really cool of you.
All right.
Bottom line is, you want to be dirty, or you want to be silky, or you want to be silky and dirty at the same time?
Gotta get me some of that product, dude.
All right, this is from... These will be your box office from last weekend up until Thursday.
Okay.
Because that's how they do it. Okay? Number 10 is Thank You for Smoking, actually.
Oh.
Which brought in a gross of $2.3 million with a total of $6 million.
We covered that on the show, and I really want to see that. Who's in that, Vanessa?
Well, let me tell you who's in that. That would be Aaron Eckhart, Robert Duvall, Miss Tomcat, Katie Cruz, William H. Macy with Saggy Butt, and Sam Elliott.
Plus coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
Oh, she's in that too. That's good to see her working again, Steven.
Directed by Jason Reitman.
Nice. That's right. Ivan's son.
Oh, that's right. That's right. All right. Number 9, a movie I had never heard of before. A movie called Fat Girls. P-H-A-T-Z. Fat Girls. No, P-H-A-T-G-I-R-L-Z. Fat Girls.
Ah, gotcha.
With Monique Imes, Godfrey
Dantois,
Joyful Michelle Drake, yes, that's her real name, Kendra C. Johnson, Jimmy Jean Lewis, and...
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
Oh, my God.
Oh, he's in that, too.
Making the rounds.
Yeah, he's played the angel of death and everything.
And it's directed by Negest Leek. It's a African. And at number 8, Fat Girls has made $3.1 million last weekend.
Rake it in the cash, baby.
Oh yeah, it's his opening weekend. At number 8, we have V for Vendetta.
Ah.
It's gotten pretty good reviews. It has Natalie Portman, Hugo Weaving, Hugo, Stephen Ray, Stephen Fry, and John Hurt, and it's
Bang Ladesh.
It's produced by the Wachowski brothers, who did the Matrix movies.
The
and
Matrix,
Joel
what's
Silver.
That?
Yeah, it's a hair care product.
Ah, is it a Jonathan product?
That's right.
Look at that chunk.
This is like the...
All right, V for Vendetta last weekend brought in $3.4 million and a total gross of $62.2 million. At number 7, we have a movie called ATL, which tells the story of four teens coming of age in an Atlanta neighborhood where hip-hop music, sound familiar, and roller skates.
An evil medium.
An evil medium in a hip-hop club?
Yeah. It stars...
That's a keeper.
T.I. Harris, Lauren London, Antoine Big Boy Patton, McKelty Williamson, Keith
Plus
David.
Coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
Ah, Molly Ringwald's in that too.
It's directed by Chris Robinson IV.
Ah!
And it's brought in...
The third is a much better director.
Yeah, I agree. He did better with lighting.
Yes.
ATL, its weekend gross was $3.7 million with an overall gross of $17.2 million, which is probably about all it'll make because I've never even heard of the damn thing.
Right.
Number 6 is everybody's favorite Matthew McConaughey in Failure to Launch.
Ah.
With the old horse face, Sarah Jessica Parker, Zoe Deschanel, is that how you say her name?
Deschanel. Zoe Deschanel.
Justin Bartha and Bradley Cooper, and is directed by Tom Day.
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
It brought in four.
Foggy knows we're going to beat the living crap out of him after the show's over, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It brought in $4.1 million last weekend, and so far, which this is amazing to me, it's brought in nearly $80 million in 5 weeks.
Yes.
Sounds nice.
Number 5. We have Lucky Number 11. That's right, the movie we talked about last
Bill's
week.
Favorite movie.
Yes, with Josh Hartnett, Lucy Liu, Ben Kingsley, Bruce Willis, Morgan Freeman, and it's directed by...
Billy!
Paul McGuigan.
Yeah, Paul McGuigan.
And it's gotten so-so reviews. I would say...
What a colossal rip-off.
Now, Steven, I know that you're a Lucy Liu fan. How do you feel about Vanessa hating Lucy Liu?
Everybody has their opinion, and that's fine.
Is Vanessa...
You like her? You're the one?
Does Vanessa have the wrong opinion?
Yes. That's a great thing.
What is the right opinion of Lucy Liu?
You can have your own opinion. There's no right. No, there's no right, no wrong.
What do you think of
That's
her?
Wheels off.
She's okay. I don't have a problem with her.
She's kind of like that Michelle Rodriguez type. There's something about her you just can't put your finger on it, you know? Like Glenn Close is for me.
I think Stephen would disagree with you wholeheartedly.
I don't have a problem at all. For me, it would be Julia Roberts. Just can't stand her. Can't look at her.
Oh, that laugh?
Oh.
Makes you pass out?
Oh, hate it. Hate.
Lucky number 11 in its opening weekend had grossed $7 million.
Awesome.
All right. At number 4, we have a movie called Inside Man with Denzel Washington, the hot babe.
About a guy who never leaves his house. I mean, he's, what is it, agoraphobic?
Agoraphobia.
Yes.
Yeah, he's an inside man. He's not an outside guy. He's very pale, and I'm going to stop talking now.
Yes, thank you. Also has Clive Owen, another good-looking guy, Jodie Foster, Sagan.
Plus coming soon, Molly Ringwald.
And I'm going to try this name, Tweedledee.
Tweedledee and Tweedledum. All right, okay. What other movies are coming out?
And it's directed by Spike Lee.
Who? You know, if you want to know more about Spike Lee, check out the latest edition of The Hollywood Saloon at hollywoodsaloon.com.
Yes, they talk a lot about him. And number 3, we have a movie called Take the Lead. That's right, with Mr. Antonio Banderas, where he dances and gets some punk kids a dance. You know, that usual...
Some punk-ass kids.
They cross ballroom dancing with hip-hop. Awesome.
Well, does it have any beatboxing in it?
Yes.
Oh, hell yeah!
You know I can beatbox, right?
No, let's check it out.
All right, ready?
Pretty good, yeah. Vanessa.
I know, you wanted to get down on boogie. But also, this was directed by Liz Friedlander. What else did she direct, by the way?
I have no clue.
But also, when it is Yaya DaCosta, Rob Brown, and it brought in $12 million on its opening weekend.
Wow, hello!
I know, more than the Inside Man or Lucky Number 11. Actually, even more than Failure to Launch. All right, number 2, we have The Benchwarmers. The Benchwarmers, the comedy with Rob Schneider, David Spade, John Heder, I don't know how you say his name, John Evans. Yeah, it's been panned by critics, but it seems like the average Joe thinks it's okay. And it's directed by Dennis Dugan. And last weekend it brought in, and this is its opening weekend, mind you, it brought in $19.6 million.
Are you going to eat your tots?
And can anyone guess the number one movie that from last weekend?
It would be... Ice Age 2.
Ding, 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 ding. Very good. You looked it up.
Steven, did I look it up?
You did not look it up.
I'm teasing.
I think that's ice breaking.
All right.
That's what it's about.
The Sean Preston's skull fracture. Oh, my God. That is sick.
It is sick. All right. It has the voice acting of Ray Romano, Dennis Leary, Queen Latifah, Josh Peck. That name sounds
familiar. I was on board till you said Queen Latifah.
Yeah, and it's directed by Carlos Saldana, who I believe did the first one as well.
It's so weird when they list the director of a cartoon or something.
Yeah. Well, can anyone guess how much it brought in last weekend alone? This is after just a second week.
$45 million.
$500 billion.
Yes, $500 billion. No, it brought in $33.8 million last weekend, and overall, just in 2 weeks, it's brought in $115.7
million. Nice.
Wow. Yeah. Well, they got themselves a cash cow on that one.
Good for them.
Pixar is awesome.
That's not Pixar.
It's not Pixar?
No.
Touchstone?
20th Century Fox.
All right, now let's discuss the DVDs. Okay, now for the DVDs being released on April 18th, 2006. There aren't that many newer movies. It's mainly a lot of limited editions, special editions coming out. But let's just name a few. First, we have Hostel. It's an unrated version that's being released, which I heard got phenomenal reviews, which I still haven't seen. A movie called Irresistible.
Wait, what is Hostel again?
It's a horror movie.
Yeah, it has...
It's directed by the guy who did Cabin Fever, that Eli...
Eli Roth.
Right,
Eli.
Okay.
It's better than Cabin Fever.
Right, who's in that?
Jay Hernandez and Derek Richardson.
Oh, I've never heard of them.
I know, me either. All right. Another new movie we have coming out is a movie called Irresistible with Susan Sarandon and Sam Neill. Do you remember this preview? I don't know if you remember it. It's a drama, suspense movie where she becomes a woman becomes a concerned and certain that her husband's coworker is trying to win him away from her.
I've never heard of this.
I remember one commercial for it. That's about it.
Struggling.
And then also another new movie, a movie that came out this year, I should say, is a movie with our favorite martial artist, Aikido man, Steven Seagal, called Mercenary for Justice.
Awesome. Whatever happened to that guy?
Screw the small judo man.
Now, here's a different plot we've never heard. A mercenary is blackmailed into orchestrating an impossible prison break. Yeah. All right. The rest of these are just... they are older movies, but they're like some are getting released in widescreen. Like we have, for instance, from 1984, we have Remington Steele Season 3, the 4 DVD set.
Awesome. That's right, Predator.
And a movie from 1977 with James Coburn and Maximilian Schnell, a Sam Peckinpah movie called Cross of Iron.
Did you say Maximilian Schnell?
Yeah.
Wow, man, that's heavy.
I think it's Schell.
It's directed by Sam Peckinpah. Ooh. It's about a World War II drama where a German platoon are left to die by an officer, and it has, where they're trying to make it out of here. I've seen it.
I'm sold.
It's a special edition, so that means it'll have DVD extras, and they're talking about it's going to have some history about World War II, like they usually do. And then we have a movie I've never heard of. Actually, no, I have heard of this. It didn't ring true at first, but...
Okay, well, why don't you work that out with yourself before?
A movie called The Killing Time with Kiefer Sutherland and Beau Bridges from 1987.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a drifter appears in a small resort town claiming to be the new sheriff, and, of course, blackmail and double-crossing a murderer set in motion. And, of course, see Kiefer Sutherland...
How rockin' is that?
It looks like a freaking baby in this. He's so young compared to now.
Oh, a little bitty Jack Bauer. Gucci, Gucci, Gucci. Gucci, Gucci.
And then there's a 2003 movie with Meredith Bishop and Jesu Garcia called Cluso.
Oh, did you drop Baby Kiefer? Oh.
The Muscle Brancher?
Oh, it wasn't us. It was the housekeeper. The
Nanny.
Housekeeper from, where is she from?
Bangladesh.
From Bangladesh, yes. Thank you, John. Housekeeper from Bangladesh dropped the baby. Okay.
Well, this movie called Klepto, which originally came out in 2003, it's like an indie film.
Uh-huh.
It's a security guard. He tries to blackmail a kleptomaniac that he found robbing the store, and he's going to try to blackmail her into robbing the safe of the store.
Huh.
So he won't turn her in. I haven't heard anything about it, if it's good or bad, but just in case anybody's interested. And the Moonstruck Deluxe Edition.
Ooh, snap out of it!
Yep.
Sorry, Steve, didn't mean to slap you there.
That's right, Moonstruck, which won Best Picture, didn't it?
I don't know. But yeah, I will say this, greatest movie ever made.
Ouch.
And also, last but not least, Return of the Living Dead, Necropolis.
Ooh, what a title.
Yes.
Sounds like zombies.
And let's
not
see if we can...
my ability.
This plot just sounds so original. A group of teens break into a research facility of a pharmaceutical company and in the process release a few hundred zombies.
They always do that. Why
those
are they always
damn meddling kids?
Blasted dogs.
Releasing zombies. Damn them.
Oh, I forgot to mention one
movie. Zombie killing.
If you've heard of this, I don't know. It's a horror movie that came out this year called Mr. Hell. It has Pavan Grover and Tracy Scoggins, excuse me, and it's supposed to be a serial killer known as Mr. Hell comes back to life when a group of mercenaries unwittingly release his soul. Sounds like a winner. Nope, that's it for the noticeable, I should say, mentionable ones. There's a lot of indie films in here that if people want to check out, that's fine. But
well, thanks a lot, Vanessa. You really bailed us out this week with the absence of Bill. Filled in nicely. Hopefully, he'll be back next week, and we'll have a great show. What do you guys say? Spin control. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, I'm sorry in advance to all of our listeners. I know he's much better than I am at this.
Well, thank you very much, Vanessa. Wasn't she great, Steven?
She was great.
All right, everybody, that's episode 31 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Thanks for joining us this week. If you'd like to drop us an email, go to nimpodcast@gmail.com. Or if you'd like to leave us a voicemail, go to 1-206-202-3491 on your phone. Those are the buttons, numbered buttons on your phone. Dial that. You will reach our voicemail. Leave us a nice message. Tell us how much you love Steven, the pop culture zealot. Tell us how much you love Vanessa's 45 game, which will be back next week. She's needed 2 weeks to prepare these tough clips. It'll be the hardest game ever, right, Vanessa?
Yeah, I've like over, 150 that I've counted.
Right. Hopefully we won't do all those in one show because it'd be a really long show. But
yeah.
Go to nowhereinmulberry.com, check out our message board and our chat room. Remember, guys, we do Friday night chats. And we had a good one last night, didn't we, Steven?
We had a good one.
We got to talk to some listeners. And, hey, if you're compelled to talk to us about anything, go on the Friday night chats. I'm usually on there midnight Central Time. I know it's kind of late. But come on, it's Friday, man. I'm having some fun. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm usually traveling back in town, and that's about when I get in.
Right.
Yes, and I will be there this week. What time? Are we doing it at midnight still?
Get on there anytime you want. This time, there was people on there earlier. Bill was on there. We had some friends from other podcasts there. And
awesome.
Including this week, we're going to have a special guest.
Kelsey Grammer is the angel of death.
That's right. He's going to be on there this week.
I will be on there if Eugene goes on there.
He was actually on there last night.
You're kidding.
No. Now, Steven, thank you for joining us this week.
Thank you.
I appreciate it very much. I'm sorry I yelled at you and punched you a couple of times. Yeah, it's all with the territory. I'm sure I'll be getting the papers later where you'll be taking me to court for assault, right?
Right.
Yep.
Oh, sorry about that.
Just so everyone knows, Steven was yawning. Now, Vanessa, thank you for joining us. Who knows where Bill is? Hopefully he's alive. Hopefully we'll see him again.
Maybe the zombies got in again. They found his new fortress.
You never know. Right. Now, all I have to say is this, guys. Damn, dude.
Look at that chunk, dude.
Exactly.
Chunk funk.
What the hell does that mean? Chunk funk. Well, see you next week, everybody.
What's that, huh? You got anything else to say?
Now this is podcasting.